Can anybody see this? Joyce Myers is a boss. Just a female version of it. Paula White, boss. Don't you know they got lesbian bosses too? You get some of these big time women rappers. Nicki Minaj is a boss. She got a litany of women that follow her and homosexual guys. It's your boss. They go and smoke the cigars and drink liquor with the guys. You ever seen a boss girl that's running heavy lesbians? That girl to hang with the boss guys. Dress like them. Look like them. Talk like them. I'm a boss. I'm running some bad babes. And they'll accept her as a boss with fine, good-looking girls under her control. Because she's a boss. Church has become the domain of bosses. And the striving in the from the pulpit, toward the pulpit, in the congregation, is trying to get in with the boss. Trying to be a girl that can fly with the boss. Trying to be a dude to fly with the boss. How do you get rid of that? You make it a core group, a foundation of guys in authority. Pastors and shepherds and elders and deacons that govern the church as a unified fighting army, a militia. So when the fly girls come, you let them know, you better step back off of this. Because you're going to have some serious trouble up in here. Because we seek and destroy Jezebel spirits. We pray in damnation and death over your home and your life. You saying, what? You would? Yes, I would do that. Yeah. Timothy, keep yourself pure. Yeah. Keep the church pure. Yeah. Keep the gospel pure. Yeah. Anything that comes to defile the gospel must be eliminated. Yeah. Yeah. Vicious man. It ain't pretty. It ain't for no toe-tapping, step-and-fetch-it jigaboos. You better be for real up in here. Because you're bringing that junk from the streets. You're bringing that junk from the club. You're bringing that diva trash to church. And God will eliminate you. And dogs shall eat the body of Jezebel in the streets of Jezreel, he says. So you see now, too much sugar and it's toxic. Look what he says in Thessalonians here. He says it's going to be a fall away. First is going to be a fall away, and the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So after this fall away, this anthropos, this man, this physical man of sin, is going to reveal himself. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholds that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of evil, the mystery of sedition doth already work. Only he who now lets or holds back will let or hold back until he be taken out of the way. Better stated, it really says in the Greek, until he's taken out of the middle. He's standing between the manifestation of this man of sin and the environment. So it's something that's blocking the Antichrist, not allowing him to come forth. But then he says when that's been removed, he'll be revealed. And that's what's happening right now. The blockage is being revealed. It's being removed. He says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, that word there is dunamis, displayed miraculous power, with all power and signs, and the giveaway is lying wonders. The wonders and the power will verify and validate the lies. So that means you got to have a built-in truth detector in you. You got to be able to know what's a lie and what's the truth, because the miracles cannot be the deciding factor to distinguish Christ from the Antichrist. You got to know the truth. You got to love the truth. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they what? Received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Sozo in the Greek, saved. That means delivered, healed, set free, saved. And the love of the truth is what saves you. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. You got to love the truth. You got to just meditate on the truth. You got to seek the truth. You got to desire the truth about yourself, even if it hurts you. I appreciate the joy, but sometimes the truth got to bring some pain, man. That's some pain. Because you put your finger on me, and it hurts me. But, buddy, you need that pain to cut out that rottenness in your soul that will leave you out of the body of Christ. It's joy and pain, and the truth will bring both of them. I wish it was pretty. But it's not. They didn't love the truth that they might be saved. Therefore, look at this. He says, verse 11, and for this cause, because they didn't love the truth that they might be saved, for this reason, for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Better stated, so that they'll put faith in a lie. That's what's happening. Look around you. TBN, the Word Network, packed to the rafters. They're piling into hell centers all over the country on Sunday morning, putting faith in a lie. Once saved, always saved. Unconditional eternal security. You watch how these women try to mangle the scripture to make themselves pastors. They'd rather believe that lie than to take the pain of saying, you know what, I need to repent and get up under the auspices and government of God. I'm going to walk this lie out to the end. I'm going to make the scripture say what I wanted to say. They'll tell you Phoebe was a deacon, a deaconess. The Bible don't say that. The word for deacon and what they call Phoebe, a servant, is the same word. Diakonos, a servant. But you know how you can delineate the two? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and you find the deacon is an office that's germane to a man. She was a servant of the church, but she was not a deacon. You got folk in there telling you that Priscilla was an apostle. I challenge somebody, I said, show me that in the Bible. Well, it's alluded to, and you can make all kind of assumptions based on. Show me in the Bible where you find a woman called an apostle. Show it to me verbatim. Can't do it because it's not there. There's scripture twisting the Bible to sign off on what? Feminism. The rise of power of the feminine matriarchal structure. I'm going to make God bow to the fact that we want to take over. He's going to bow to me. No, he won't. He's going to destroy you. He's going to destroy you because you changed the truth of God into a lie. You worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's what the Bible says. This ain't pretty. It's everywhere. That's why they keep having these women's seminars and these women's meetings. That stuff is designed to contaminate a woman's mind, make her anti-Christ and hate Christ. They're not neutral. They despise Christ because they despise his word. And you got guys trying to defend their mom as a pastor. My sister, my auntie, my wife is a pastor. Well, you and your wife going to hell together. God exalts his word higher than his name. He's not going to change not one jot, not one tittle, till all be fulfilled. Every I is dotted. Every T is crossed. It ain't pretty. It's not nice. You got to have a strong intestinal fortitude to preach the gospel and stand on it. Because you find out real fast, everything will turn on you. The world does not accommodate Christ. The world hates Christ. Religion and church people despise Christ. They've converted and changed the word into another kind of Christ. You modify the word, you don't have Christ, you've got Antichrist. The antithesis of Christ is not pretty. It's not for lightweight folks. It's not for people that are used to eating a bunch of sugar. Look at this. He says, for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned. This ain't my opinion. He sent the lie to damn them. Because they refuse to do one thing, and that is repent. I'm preaching a message right now. All you got to do by way of live stream, if you bathe in this stuff, turn around. Repent. Repentance is not just stopping what you're doing. When you repent, you turn away from what you are, not just what you did. I'm a Jezebel spirit. I turn my back on Jezebel and I fight the Jezebel spirit. As a woman, you got to wage a warfare against the Jezebel spirit. Because I haven't met a woman yet without the remnants of a Jezebel spirit. As a matter of fact, to get a Jezebel spirit operative in you as a woman, just get in the flesh. That thing will be right there waiting on you. And it'll lead you to the pits of hell. Thinking you knowing what you're doing. See, a Jezebel spirit takes for granted every guy just a punk just talking. You know why they do that? Because as I'm standing here talking, they don't see God doing anything physically. It's like, that's just another guy talking. Oh, I'm blowing him off, you know, joking. You know, they talk big, but they ain't going to do nothing. Because that's your history. Because all you ever dealt with was little punk boys and girly guys, because that's all you can handle. See, that's all you know. So every guy is now identified as the guy you've been with, a chump that you took advantage of. So you don't see God doing anything physically. You think, you're going to blow off, you know. Jimmy Swaggart talked big a long time. You saw he fell. Jim Baker had that big old arena built over there in North Carolina, PTL. You saw he went down. You know, David, they took him. It got Samson. It got Ahab. Ain't nobody going to make it out of here alive. It's somebody that'll get them under control. All of them weak. The right babe just ain't showed up yet. It's one tailor-made to take them out. You know how to get past that as a guy? Just hate everything. That's all you got to do. Just hate everything, everywhere. I hate everybody. I hate everything. I'll kill him. I'll destroy everything. Strap T and TT back and just dive off into the crowd. Because you got now you got nothing to lose. You got nothing. You want no sugar. See, women think they're carrying sugar between their legs. Mm-hmm. Remember the girl used to be with Prince talking about come up inside my sugar walls. Y'all remember that song? Who was that? Sheila E. Sheena Easton. That's what it was. Sugar walls. Uh-huh. With Prince. Sugar walls. What kind of, how you remember all that? I didn't remember that. But that's what it's all about. A pleasure palace. A woman's body can become a pleasure palace to a guy, and that's all. That's got him hunger. He can't get past that pleasure palace. You don't believe it? Look at what the Bible says. He says that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had what? Pleasure. In unrighteousness. Pleasure. That's where the sugar is. That's why the church people appear to be blind. That's why they don't come to a war-like environment where warlords are at. Because what you're saying is not going to bring me pleasure. I can see the future, man, and what you're preaching is going to bring me pain. I don't want any pain. I only want pleasure. The Jezebel spirit is banking on David wanting pleasure from Bathsheba. Banking on Samson wanting pleasure from Delilah. That's what it's banking on. Herod watched his little stepdaughter dance, giving him pleasure. And on her side, I'll butcher the prophet of God, because you gave me pleasure with your dance. Can't you see what's going on? The human race is seeking after pleasure with no pain. And God says, we fill up the sufferings of Christ. You got to read the Bible and what it says equally. Don't try to tilt it one way or the other. Eat the whole roll, the Bible says. Pleasure in unrighteousness. This world is designed by Satan to give you pleasure. The word world in the Bible is two Greek words, aeon and cosmos. Aeon refers to time. Cosmos refers to the fashions and decorations. So the time period we live in is full of fashions and decorations to give you pleasure. Getaways, junkets to the islands, Las Vegas, movies, candy, food. You leave here and want to eat out today? You got 5,000 restaurants from here to home. Because food gives you pleasure. Care how fat I'm getting, I sure feel good getting fat. They told you back in the 60s and 70s, if it feels good, do it. Seek after pleasure. And anything that brings you pleasure without pain must be gone. So now you got a church that believes anything that brings you pleasure is gone. Anything that brings you pain is the devil. I'll say that again. A church world has been brainwashed to believe that anything that brings you pleasure is God. Anything bringing you pain is the devil. And that ain't true. Because God uses joy and pain. It comes like sunshine and rain. What's he trying to do? He's trying to amalgamate in you. The two elements together through photosynthesis to absorb from the moisture and the nutrients what's necessary to forge Christ in you. Amen. Christ has to be forged in the confines of joy and pain. Not one over the other. It's got to be a balance. So you'll know you'll have joy on the inside and pain on the outside. That's the balance. When I represent Christ, the anointing of the Holy Ghost will bring me joy. But boy, the world will bring me pain. Because the cosmos and the eons, the time parameters, the time and space continuum, will not accommodate Christ. And God says, stand on the word and proclaim Christ. God, it gives me joy to preach him. But buddy, I get pain in return for it. That's the balance. You got to accept both of them. Christ will accept you as the world rejects you. The rejection of the world is the sign that Christ is being formed in you. You know, the only other choice you got is to get in church and find somebody just like you and pretend y'all really saved. I'm an Ahab spirit. I find myself old Jezebelian hag. And pretend we saved together. Walking around in church looking crazy. Ahab and Jezebel in church talking about praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says you deceived yourself. Because I wouldn't cauterize the filth in me and get rid of it. So now I just amalgamate and the devil going to find somebody just like you that's compatible to that spirit in you and tell you, yeah, you all right. But a real saint going to tell you what? That's garbage, what you got right there. You that's a travesty. That's a tragedy. You look crazy with this mess. But when your mind is fleshly and carnal, when you make up your mind to enjoy pleasure at the expense of God's word, there's nothing anybody can do for you because you've deceived yourself. There's nothing more powerful than self-deception. So the world is against you. The time you live in, the decorations and fashions of it, the styles, all the media presentations are against God. Antichrist all by themselves. And what makes me just look at folks and wonder what's wrong with them, they keep trying to wonder why the world does what it does. They get on Facebook trying to analyze why the world is doing this. I can't believe this is happening. You know what's wrong with them? They don't want no pain. They want the world to accommodate Christ. I pray it gets worse. Guy asked me yesterday, he said, listen, this transgender stuff makes me real angry. How do we pray for God to move again? I said, I'm not praying for God to move again. I hope it gets worse. Man, you're crazy. Worse? Yeah. Because the more the world becomes antichrist, the more it's going to push out the real Christ. And you'll see a manifestation of the sons of God. I'm not going to fit into this. I don't even like this. I don't want to be accommodated by them. Folks don't want any pain. You know what you need in you? You need your pain threshold built up higher, so you can take more pain. That's what's wrong with you. You flinching at a little bit of pain. You need your threshold heightened so you can take maximum pain. A high pain threshold. Dennis drilling in your TV, drilling all down in the root, and you just stand there taking it, just hitting against that root, and you can feel it, bam, hitting that root, and you're taking it. That's heavy, man, when they're fooling around your teeth and nerves in your teeth, man. Man, you got a more Novocaine up in here, man. We're too weak. The church is too weak. God is not culminating his plan because the church folk can't take the pain. So he's forging, he's molding, he's using joy and pain, sunshine and rain to amalgamate, to forge Christ in us so that when these last end time days manifest themselves, you can stand and stand therefore. Armor clad. Because I took the joy and the pain to mold me into the image of Christ. Too weak. Too weak. So when I preach messages, they're so weak, they just sit there and listen. It won't do anything because if I get in it, I'll move it forward. And now I'm not ready to go. That's why people hold back finances. People know this ain't the same thing. They don't think we're Creflo Dollar or T.D. Jakes. They don't want it to go faster because I'm not ready for this. I'm not supporting this because they'll end the world. They're crazy. You are crazy. You want the world to maintain and stay here? Look at this. Stephanie homeschools her kids. Let's say she gets them through homeschooling. Gets them through high school. They still got to go to college. They leave college, they got to go to the workforce. It's hell. You got a no-win proposition here. You can't bypass it. It's a filthy, dirty, low-down, degraded world. The whole world lies in the wicked one. Period. You can delay interaction with it, but you can't stop it. They are going to interact with this world. That's why they got to have a strong constitution built into them by the Holy Ghost to stand in the midst of austere conditions, to stand in a fiery inferno and not bow to the beast. I will not bow to the dictates of the Antichrist. But you got to be made strong enough to do it. I'm not going to preach some weak pablum message to folk because I'm undermining their development. I remember when one of our kids was born, I think it was Gabriel. Might have been Gary. He was sitting in my wife's lap breastfeeding. And I came and moved him away from that breast. Boy, I thought he was going to kill me. My whole life flashed before my eyes. 3 months old. He looked at me like, what you doing? I'll kill you. Man, I took that breast milk. I took that breast out of that boy's mouth. I thought he was going to swing on me. Why? That's his source of nutrients. See, a woman has the ability to both to conceive life, gestate life, birth life, then sustain the life with one vessel. What that baby had been living off of inside of the woman has now transferred to the breast milk to keep the baby growing. You can tell the baby's being nourished right from breast milk because it'll get bigger, fatter, stronger. There's a lot of nutrients in that breast milk for that baby. But guess what? Church folk are staying on the breast too long. God is saying, you got to be what? You got to be weaned. Sincere milk of the word is for babies, but now you got to be weaned. And they sitting in churches on pablum and breast milk too long. And guess what? What was once beneficial to you has now become detrimental to you. Because you can't live off of breast milk as a full grown child and an adult. Amen. It won't sustain you. You need meat. After you've had your senses exercised to discern good and evil, you need meat to live. Breast milk ain't going to do it. See, there's a lot of stuff in that milk. That little touch of glucose in that milk wouldn't make that baby want it so bad. That little sugar. They just call it sugar tit. Want that sugar tit in his mouth. That's what he's looking for. They're loving that. Man, what's wrong with you? Then finally he drank himself into a stupor to go to sleep. Be drunk on sugar tit. I mean, breast milk will knock a baby out. Baby, they'll be there. Then wake up like he's drunk. He'd be like, he's drunk. You know, you put him in the baby, go to the baby, he's drunk. That's the way breast milk will do you on it too long. You sitting in church drunk on the wine of the fornication of the harlot. And God is saying, turn her loose of that. Come out of her, my people, that you be not a partaker of her plagues. And you sitting there drinking down that sugar tit every day, and it's not even beneficial to you. It's detrimental to you. It's destroying your development. You're getting no nutrients from it because you've outgrown it. I listened to Joel Osteen for 2 minutes. I'm ready to turn it on. Hear that junk? That's garbage. Another person talking about Joel Osteen is dynamic. Joel Osteen, man, have you heard this latest message? Man, when you see Joel Osteen, it looks just like cartoon characters standing there, him and his wife both. They look like cartoons. Not even real, like they're plastic people. Who in the world could be absorbed into that and think that's Christianity? TBN with the Crouches, they were plastic people. Jim Baker and them back in the day, plastic people. This don't even look real. Purple hair. Pink hair. A woman with ribbons in her hair holding dolls. You got these women on TBN holding dolls with pink hair. Insane. Talking about the Lord. And you got these little sugar tit folks sitting there looking at it as if this is God moving. All these preachers coming on here. Does anybody have the power to cast that demon out of this woman and set her mind free? But because they had control of the money, and I want to be on the network, I'm not going to say anything and pretend God is on the move. Not me. Not me. I'm not pretending God is moving when he's not. We need a disciplined military fighting force to stand against the devil. Not all this make-believe pablum. Come over that breast milk, man. What is wrong with you? So the world is against God. But then you got to overcome the flesh. Don't even talk about the demons and Satan. Your own dirty flesh. And the desires, the Bible calls it the lust of your flesh. You know what that really is? The lust of the flesh is nothing more than a desire for a dopamine fix. Dopamine is the pleasure chemical in your brain. and your flesh lusts for feeling good. People don't want to have sex because they want to have sex. They want to have sex because they want to feel good. They get addicted to the feeling. It's not about how somebody looks. It's how they make me feel. That's what I want. A person can want to feel good using your body and not even want you. You had an apple out of that bag out there in the world, didn't you? They didn't want you. They just wanted to use your body for a minute because I want to feel good. And you send someone thinking you're doing something like they all into me. They want me so bad. Wait till you start putting some kind of demands on them and telling them that they need to do. They go, look, girl, I ain't into it like this now. No, my kid needs some diapers. Well, I hope you got some money. Well, where daddy at? Well, I thought No. I was just here to have some sex. I wasn't into you like that. I'm not into you like that. And that you there with your heart, you leave the apartment with your heart in your hand, walking down the street, cut out of your chest. Because all they wanted to do is use you for a minute, like a toilet or a latrine. And you accepted that. And a lot of folks come to church with that same program running, used. That's why the Lord wants to make people whole. So you'll stop being yesterday's news. Stop being used toilet paper. Expunge all that trash out of your flesh so you'll be whole, so you won't walk around like that anymore. We did that to ourselves, and God is trying to deliver us from it. Amen. Flesh has the desire to feel good. That's what it's got senses out for us. The sensory perceptors are out there trying to feel good. Man, your skin is showing up soft. That feel good. Man, I want to get rub your skin. Your hair feel good. Let me bear my finger through your hair. Man, you feel good. Come on back in the back room. And you be okay. This is stupid. That's stupid. Stupid. Betty Boob. Who do they call that girl? Betty Boob. Go for anything. Trying to feel good. You better stop trying to feel good and feel God. Amen. Let God format in you obedience, no matter what it takes. Jesus learned obedience by what?
Suffering,
man. He learned what it took to obey in the world by suffering in the flesh. So the flesh is seeking after dopamine, feeling good. It's the fallen nature of man. I fell out of fellowship with God and obedience into fellowship with Satan and pleasure, feeling good. Satan promises you that you'll feel good. There'll be no burdens put on you. You can relax in Zion. Just pay your tithes. That's why they build these big old churches and these luxury palaces. Come on up in church. And you got a basketball court. We got a pool. We got all this stuff for you. Just pay that money to feel good. And folk glory in their own shame. The last thing, the devil, the god of this world, has to be overcome. You fight your way out of the world at large. You fight your way out of your own soulish tendencies and natural appetites and fallen natures. And then you find one last being to overcome that's blocking the Holy of Holies, the devil. Stands in front of the gate of God saying, you're not coming in here. That's why you got to decrease. To let the Lord increase to overcome that devil. Because you can't overcome a cherubim angel. Only Christ. Everything you go through, the suffering is dying to something. You die to the world, you die to the flesh, and you die to the control of the devil. Because everything is abdication of my life to gain life, to get over him. And once you get over him, now you can now manifest a productive warfare against him, looking down at him. You have made the devil, God's enemy, your footstool. And you got power over the devil finally. But you got to go through those elevations. You got to go through those hierarchies to get above him. And they don't tell you this in church. You get in there and you start performing and working and going to work in the church and hanging around, never defeating the inner forces that are binding you. You bring up deliverance and demons, they mock you and hate you for talking about demons in you. Because they want you still bound to control you. I can't have a productive brothel. I can't have a productive harem. I can't have all these side chicks in the church if you get free. I'm a boss. Bosses use psychology to control the environment. Big time pimps can wrap your mind up and hang you out to dry when you one of those dumb chicks looking for identity through a man. So you got no daddy, and now I found myself a daddy called a pimp daddy. Yeah. Folks in church called a preacher daddy. You hadn't heard it? They have these girls turn them out and say, when they're having sex with them, call me daddy. Do it, daddy. Yeah, daddy. Yeah, daddy. And it got your mind mangled to believe this your daddy. I tell my son, Gabriel, it'd be so many girls coming to him, man, and like wildfire. I don't even understand. Man, what are you doing? You know what it is on him? I raised him. They picking the fact he had a daddy, and they looking for one. And he exploiting them knowing they broken down looking for a daddy. Every bedtime player can do that. He finally figures out these girls with no daddy at the home are looking for a daddy. So I'm going to treat them just like my little girl. He'll get you on the street, 42nd Street, selling yourself for him as his little girl, pleasing my daddy. I got your money for your daddy, bringing that joker $2,000 a night, laying up with 10 guys a night for this clown. Strip joint owners do the same thing. They're not stripping for the patrons in the audience. They're stripping for the owner of the club. He done turned them out. They're stripping for their daddy. These women looking for a boss. Now, here's the perversion of it that happens to a woman's mind when I say this kind of stuff. Now, they try to marginalize and try to downgrade proper authority in the church. Well, see, that's right. I don't listen to man. Man can't tell me nothing. I serve the Lord. Now, you crazy. Stay in the middle of the road. There's proper authority sent by God to serve you, to grow you to maturity. That's how it goes. You got to understand, you're going through cycles of pregnancy. I'm not here preaching. I'm not here just being a shepherd over the flock. Man, Tashonda, I'm her OBGYN. What? What kind of mess? Let me out of here. What kind of mess you doing with Shonda? See how crazy people can. People go crazy. People go crazy when you say stuff like that. Why? Because she's with child. I'm trying to bring forth Christ into the birth canal, into manifestation. Now Christ is born in her. She's been born again. She has now brought Christ forth. Now I got to change up and become a pediatrician. Because the child got to be nurtured and brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You still got to be taught and matured and brought up to full stature. Well, now I'm mature in the Lord. I know the Lord. Okay, now I got to metamorphosize again into a general practitioner. Because every year you need a what?
Checkup
from the neck up to make sure you ain't gone crazy. This is a hospital. These are physicians. Jesus said the people that are well don't have any need for a physician. I came to get the sinners, the folk that need a doctor, because I'm a doctor on call all the time. That's what the real leadership of the church is. They're doctoring on you. It ain't you, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm looking past. I see people with all kinds of problems. I look past the problems, I ain't talking to them. I'm after that child down inside. The apostle says, I'm laboring in birth pains till Christ be formed in you. Yeah, you got crazy on the outside. But we're after the one on the inside. And getting you to repent of all the trash you're in, so the one on the inside can take over more inner space. And you'll grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ once you yield to the process. This ain't rocket science. I'm not fighting this one that wars and beats against the wind. I know what I'm doing. And I also know I'm dealing with folks by way of live stream too. That's got all kinds of yokes and bondages on your mind. And you think you know what you don't know. Sitting up thinking, yeah, I got it. Yeah, praise the Lord. I saw that. You know, the Lord showed me that physician thing 3 years ago. No, he didn't. Shut up. You know, it's about everything you say. They already know it. That's game. Because they are actually deceiving themselves not to be taught anything. Mm-hmm. And they go and try to look up stuff now to try to know what you know. When I don't know anything, I don't even know what I'm doing. It's bad when you're trying to emulate somebody that don't even know what they're doing themselves. Then they ask you, well, how does it work? I don't know. I sure wish I knew. Do you know how it works? Because I don't have a clue. I don't know how casting out devils works. I just cast them out. Well, first of all, I don't know. I don't know. All I know is to tell them to go and hope they leave. That's it. Somebody asked me to come for it. They were kind of like shook up and scared a little bit, saying, Pastor Price, in that deliverance, sir, when all those demons were cast out, could they get in other people? What's the answer to that? The answer is no. They said, why? Because I don't let them. They go where I tell them to go. You say, you really believe you got that kind of power? Yes. See, folks are on edge because they've been taught so many crazy stuff. Be careful in deliverance service. You know, when you're sitting up in there, those demons can jump out of one person into another one. Demons come through open doors that you opened up to them. If that wasn't the case, all of us would be demon possessed and crazy. If they can just get into you at carte blanche as they will to, we'd be walking around just like Quasimodo, the Hunchback of Notre Dame, crazy. See, people, man, they've been taught so much stuff that they got all this mind clutter that they can't even go out there and be productive and proactive with God and get the job done, because there's always something wrong with me. You know why there's always something wrong with you? Because there's always something wrong with you. How do you get out of it? You start going and doing the work of the ministry. And God will deliver you as you go. Amen. He'll shred off the junk. Well, I'm waiting to get right before I go. You'll never go. Because you'll never get right. You can't get free in self. You got to become a conduit through which God pours himself to reach somebody else. He'll heal you as you deliver others. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. God is a reciprocal God. If you give out, he'll pour in. That's right. Here I am waiting for a perfect world where nothing is wrong with me. I'm flawless. You want to get rid of a Jezebel spirit? Confront one. I got this thing in me. Well, I know you got it in you. Get rid of it by confronting it. Go to war with it. Everything you see a Jezebelian spirit do, while they're going left, you start going right. Till you butt heads. And overcome it. It's a force down here that wants you to actually conform to the environment. You got to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Satan's weapons, pleasure stimuli. Anything that stimulates pleasure in you, you got to begin to see it as your enemy. If it's pleasurable, it's suspect. Feeling good. Oh, I'm just feeling good. I just want to feel good, more good. I want to feel better. I love drinking Cokes. That Coke is now changing up into sugar and storing its fat inside of you. You're drinking Cokes, but you're getting bigger.
This little liquid drink making me this fat?
Yeah.
Because it's metabolizing in you into fat.
You put so much sugar in you through that high, you ever heard it's called high fructose corn syrup? Know what that means? You know why they use that in industry?
Save money.
Because, see, sugar, it takes a lot of it to make it sweet. Since it's high fructose, just use a little bit. It's cheaper to use that little bit of high fructose corn syrup to make it just as sweet as the sugar. I don't ever use as much of it. And they know that sugar is highly addictive. You're drinking Coke not because it's bubbly and it gives you a sensation and you like the fizz. You're drinking Coke because you like the sugar. You're drinking a bottle full of sugar. And guess what is going into you? Metabolizing. You got too much sugar in you so your cells can absorb it and it's storing it as fat. That's why we got a fat church. It's so much pablum, so much sugar-tit gospel preached that all this gospel is coming into the church and ain't even, it's not the gospel. It's just a high dose of sugar. And the people are getting fat on the false word. So when you come with the real, guess what they're going to do? They're going to recoil. You know why? It ain't sweet. It ain't sugar. I'm a sugar addict. Here you come with some green beans and collard greens and lima beans and squash. No, man. Cake, ice cream, cookies. That's all I want. You come with this pain. I want joy only. I want pleasure only. No pain. You need a balance of joy and pain. It's like sunshine and rain. It's going to balance you out and forge Christ in you. You got to have a balanced diet. You need starch. Because starch metabolizes in the sugar. And it feeds your cells with energy. When you start getting a drag on you and you got no energy, you either got low iron content or you're not absorbing enough sugar into your cells to give you energy. And you know what increases absorption? Exercise. You start burning, and your cells are going to say, I need more sugar, I need more energy. And it's going to have to turn on the mechanism to start getting energy. Exercise will make you tired. It won't. It's going to give you more energy. Because you're actually putting more sugar into your system to give you more pep in your step. But when you just sit there as a fat, non-productive, chair filler, a pew filler, a pew warmer, and you're taking in all that sugar and your body spreading out on the pew, north and south, east and west, you big old blob sitting up in church talking about amen. Praise the Lord. That was some good word today. Looking like Santa Claus sitting up in there. That big old fat thing on Star Wars. What you call that thing? Jabba the Hutt. I'm Jabba the Hutt up in church. What's wrong with you? Why don't you get out there and get working, get moving, get shaking, get rolling, start lifting some weights, man, pumping some iron, do some running, get on a treadmill, do something. You fat on a false gospel at that. But then you were fat on the real gospel, you fat on the false gospel. Because all you want now is sugar. Satan's weapons are pleasure stimuli. You need to stop needing to feel good. I need to feel good. And most people pray all day to God about how they don't feel good. Lord, deliver me from all these people talking about me. And Lord, on my job, they were so mean to me. And Lord, my mama called me, cussing me out. And Lord, my husband, he out there running around on other women. And Lord, I'm just, help me. Lord, the pain in my arm, Lord. My leg, Lord, have mercy, Lord. And he's saying, why don't you just bow your neck and fight? I don't want to hear about all that. Bow your neck. Get in the battle. I don't care about your pain. Go out there limping if your leg hurt. Fight.
That's what's wrong. Folk are too cotton-picking weak. And they complain about pain all day. You go to war with pain. Ask guys in the NFL. The guys most respected on that team are the guys that go to war in pain. Know you're hurting. Hey, man, shoot me full of some stuff. Shoot me full of that stuff, man. Shoot me full of cortisone or something, man. Enough to get my ankle right for the day. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's hit it. And everybody's saying, man, that joker, I'm with the joker. That joker, that fight, man, no, in spite of it, let's go with him. That's what Ray Lewis's claim to fame was. He play in pain. And them guys were right with him, man. God, this guy here, I know he hurt. I'm going to get with this joker because he'll play through the pain. That's what you got to be like. But church folk are too soft. I ain't said saints. Church folk. They'll sit right there on live stream, soft, and kiddie poo, full of sugar tit, and listen to this and can't do one thing about it. Because you're too soft. You're soft. That's your problem. Tuning in a tenderoni can't do anything but sit and look. That's ridiculous. And God is forging a fighting force. Sugar is bathing your soul. When you suffer, suffering will aid your deliverance. Why? Because the devil knows something has happened to you. What has happened? Look over at 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, verse 13. Let's make it verse 10. 2 Timothy 3:10. But you have fully known my doctrine and manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch. So here you are. You know my manner of life, my purpose and my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my love, patience, persecutions, and afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Persecution will lead to your deliverance. Yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall do what? So why are we trying to avoid it? You're living godly. The promise is you'll suffer persecution. So stop complaining to God about one of his promises. I'm complaining to God about a promise of God. Why are you doing that? He told you if you live godly, you'll suffer persecution. Bow your neck, go through. I don't have any kind of soft soap stuff for you. I'm not telling you every day is Friday and have your best life now, because it's a damnable lie. Every day is not Friday, and you're not going to have your best life now. Joel Osteen is telling damnable lies. That's the truth. You're going to go through, all designed to deliver you. What's an example? You don't know you're doing this, but God knows, so he got to cut you off from it. You're praying to God about your kid being delivered and saved. God, save my child. Lord, save my child. And you see them getting progressively worse. You know why they're getting progressively worse? Because they're an idol to you. As soon as you let them go, he'll go to work. But as long as you jumping in, making them an idol, making them a comfortable place to live in their sin, accommodating them, he's not going to touch them because you're an idolater. Your child is more important to you than I am. That's what he's telling you. You left your first love, and now you're praying to me about your idol. Save my husband. He don't touch him, because your husband's an idol to you. Soon as you let him go, and the peace that surpasses all understanding sells in you about that person, he'll go to work then. And when he saves them, it ain't going to be that big of a deal to you because they're no longer your idol. He gave Isaac to Abraham and said, go offer this boy up because I got to see whether or not this boy is an idol to you. Will you obey me to the degree that you will kill this boy if I tell you to? Man got a knife and some rope. I obey God. It's better to obey God than man. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I'm going to kill this boy. He's going to plunge that knife into that boy's heart. To the angels that hold it, man, don't do it. Now the Lord knows what? You won't withhold anything from me. I can trust you with anything. As long as there's idolatry bathed in your soul and you got something in you that's more important than God, he won't move. Some people idolize getting married. They never get married. It's an idol to you. Ain't nothing down here that big of a deal. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing can be an idol. Nothing can be more important than Jesus Christ himself crucified. That's it. You owe him an unpayable debt.
Yes.
He did for you and me what nobody else can do. He saved me from a burning hell, eternal damnation. Nothing can come before him in life. You pray over your idol and God will not move. But when you let that idol go, God will go to work. Because what you thought was helping them was hindering them and destroying them. Trying to stop them from experiencing what?
Pain.
Pain will lead you to Christ.
Yes.
The law is the schoolmaster to lead you to Christ.
Yes.
The law brings death and destruction on your life to bring you to Christ. But we step in trying not to let them experience any pain.
Yes.
It's ruined a generation of kids
because
you don't want your kid to suffer like you did.
Right.
I want them to have a better life than me, so I gave them too much stuff.
Yes.
And it destroyed them. So God said, you better give that boy back to me. Give that girl back to me. I'll straighten this out for you. Because I'm going to send them through some pain until they cry out for the mercy of God. That's what you got. That's how you save folk. If you're an idolater with your carnal mind, you'll get in the way of the process. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Joy and pain. Man, it's just like sunshine and rain. 1 Peter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, do what? Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from his nasty sin. I'm suffering, Lord. I know it. You cease from sin. You're not a pleasure palace anymore. You're not seeking pleasure. You're not looking for good times and feeling good. That's what sin is. Sin makes you feel good at the expense of God. But I'm not here to feel good. I'm here to obey what he tells me to do. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but to the will of God. I'm not living for the desires of me to be fulfilled, but I want the will of God done through me. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, unbridled lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquets, and abominable idolatries. If that wasn't you and me, I don't know what was. At the club, twerking like a dog, reveling, banqueting, partying. That's all you live for. Friday and Saturday night. The song was living it up, living it up. Friday night. Living for the weekend, the OJs. That was your life. You worked all week for the nightlife on Friday and Saturday night. Some folks Sunday night. Wherein the folks in the flesh, the folks in the world, look what they think about you. Wherein they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Shunned and lost their mind. She talking about we going to hell because we go to the club and we partying and we going to hell. She was just out there with her last week. And now she done went to that stupid church and now trying to act all self-righteous, looking down her nose at us. I'm saved too. Twerking the night away, saved. A saved twerker. But they speak evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. That's what Jesus did when he was crucified. He went down into Sheol and preached to the souls that had already died to be judged according to the flesh when they lived. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. We need consistent watch nights, not just the New Year's Eve watch night. Amen. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. Selflessness covers a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man have received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look at 1 Peter 5, verse 14. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen.